I want to invite you to turn with me this evening over to the book of Psalms, to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. Along in my quiet time these past few days and weeks, I've been reading in the Psalms along with reading a proverb each day. And I tell you, the book of Psalms is filled with great truth and encouragement to our hearts and our lives. And this evening, I just felt like Psalms 33 would be a good psalm to read together and allow the Lord to speak to our hearts from. Even as we looked in Proverbs today and the wisdom of God, what's needed in our nation today and how God sees and knows all that's going on, hears all and sees the condition of our nation today. I tell you, it is some discouraging days and times in which we live. But we also can look to God and to His Word and find encouragement in these days as well. And so I want us to look to Psalms 33 tonight as we've come together and just allow Him to speak to us and encourage us tonight. Psalms 33, the psalmist says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of His habitation. He looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." I want to speak to you for just a few moments tonight on this topic. He's still on the throne. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, it's a great joy to gather in Your house tonight and to worship You. And the Lord, in the midst of difficult days and times, Lord, what a joy to be able to look to Your Word, to heed, to hear the message of Your Word, the truth of Your Word, and to be reminded of this great and glorious truth, that You're sovereign, that You're in control, that You're on the throne. Lord, help us in these days and times as Your people to look up to You with a heart of faith, to trust in You, to find our hope, our help, our happiness, Lord, in our relationship with You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, as we just kind of look at the message of Psalms 33, Psalms 33, you notice it doesn't have a title or a signature there of who made this psalm. In fact, as you look at it, it seems to be just a continuation from Psalms 32. There in 32, there's the emphasis of the mercy of God. And here in chapter 33, there's the emphasis of the majesty, of the greatness of our God. Now, it doesn't say it was written by David like the others, but it certainly sounds like David. And I believe sometimes God just left the signatures out of it to just remind us of this truth, that every word of God is inspired by Him, is given to us, and He speaks His word and His truth to us to encourage us. You see, in the Psalms, we're reminded that our God is the God of heaven. And in Psalms like these, we're reminded that He's also the God of history. The God who has created us and blessed us and given us all that we have and enjoy today, the life that we enjoy today, is a God who's sovereign and who's in control of all things that we experience and go through in life. Many commentators believe that this psalm was probably written during a time of national crisis. And I believe today this psalm, the message of this psalm, should speak to our hearts, because in these days where we're definitely experiencing a crisis in our nation, this July the 4th weekend, as we're reminded of what a great nation we live in, of all that was done and all that has occurred to enable us to be a great nation, we're also very concerned today about where our nation is heading and what is going on in the life and in the leadership of our nation today. And we desperately need the encouragement of knowing that our God is on the throne, that our God is in control in the midst of this war, in the midst of the fact that we're killing babies and homosexuality is rampant, in the midst of these days where violent crimes are occurring and kids are literally shooting one another in our schoolhouses, and in the midst of a time when leaders in our nation, political leaders, their lifestyles of immorality and infidelity are coming to light day after day. I want to tell you, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all that we're seeing in the life of this nation today, what we desperately need to see today is that the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's still sovereign. He's still in control. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the one thing that can give us peace and hope and encouragement in these days and times in which we live. I want you to notice here in this psalm, as the psalmist is speaking here, we see several things. We see the Lord's praise. Notice what it said there in verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely from the upright. Or praise is the right thing to do. It's the thing that we should do. I want to tell you, we talk about how we can praise God as His people. I think we need to think more about how we should praise God as His people. In Psalm 32, there was the emphasis there of the redemption of God and the mercy of God. And here in chapter 33, we see the calling attention to the power of God and His creating us. I want to tell you, as the saints of God who've been created by God, saved by His grace, we've got a whole lot to shout about, amen? We've got a whole lot to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for. The saints, all of heaven is engaged in praising God and rejoicing in God who's on the throne. All of heaven is clothed in the garment of praise. And we as God's people ought to try on that garment for ourselves. We ought to seek to praise the Lord daily, even in the midst of discouraging and difficult and trying times. We have a reason to praise the Lord. Notice what he says there in verse 2. Man, we ought to get our hands into our praise. It says, praise the Lord with a harp, sing unto Him with a psalter, and an instrument of 10 strings. He's talking about using your hands to praise the Lord, to play the harp, to play the psalter. In our times, I guess, play the piano, pick the guitar. Man, we ought to get our hands into the praise and the worship of God. Talks about an instrument of 10 strings. I read some commentators who said, they didn't know of an instrument of 10 strings, and they believe it's talking about the 10 fingers on our hands, just using our hands to praise the Lord. I just confess to you tonight, I can't play the piano. I can't pick the guitar. I've tried to pick up a little of that. I tell you, I have a hard time playing the radio and CD player sometimes, but there's one thing I can do. I can clap my hands in rejoicing to the Lord. And I tell you, if there's one thing I pray that we come to a reality of sometime in our life, the ministry of First Baptist Church, is that it's okay to clap your hands and rejoice and praise and worship the God of heaven with your hands. Notice something else he says there in verse 3. Sing unto him a new song. It's not just our hands, but we need to get our heads into it. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Listen, as we're growing in our relationship with this Lord, with our Lord, as we're heading towards eternity, we're to be constantly studying and learning and delving into the grace and to the glory of our God. And as we're constantly studying and seeking Him and reveling in Him, there ought to be some new songs rising from our hearts. We ought to get our heads into it. Thank God for those today who allow God's Word and Spirit to work in their life, to pen new songs, to write new lyrics, to come up with new tunes of worship and praise to the Lord. I know a lot of people today, they think some of this contemporary praise music and contemporary worship music is nothing more than ditties of the devil, but I'm here to tell you that when we put our heads into it, when we study the Word of God and we see the greatness and grace and glory of God, it should issue forth a heart of praise. We should seek to glorify Him with new songs and in new ways. There's nothing wrong. Listen, I know everything that's called Christian today and contemporary Christian is not of the Lord, but I tell you this, not all of it is of the devil either. There are those who are truly worshiping God, and thank God for those new hymns of praise. Thank God for those new songs of praise, like how deep the love of God for us, how deep the Father's love for us, that His love is far beyond measure, that He would give His only Son a sacrifice for sinners. Oh, we're to praise God with our hands. We're to praise God with our heads. We're to praise God with our hearts. Look at that last part of verse 3. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. With a joyful noise. Listen, we're not just to put our hands and our heads into our praise. We're to put our hearts into our praise. It's not so much as being on time and in tune as it is in having a heart and of praise and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can come to God's house sometimes and we can sing Amazing Grace and we can sing Victory in Jesus, honestly, and it sounds like we've lost grace and we've lost the victory. Listen, when we're singing those hymns, when we're singing those praise courses, we ought to put our heart into it. This morning when the choir said, come on, join us and sing. Oh, say, can you see? Everybody stood and with a heart they began to sing. Oh, say, can you see? Singing that Star-Spangled Banner tonight, those songs of those patriotic hymns. Oh, we put our hearts into it. Listen, when you come to God's house, when you gather with God's people, our God is on the throne. He's worthy of our praise. He's the God of grace. And we ought to lift our hands, our heads, our hearts in worship and praise to a holy God who's on the throne and in control of all things. Notice with me also, it's not just the Lord's praise, but also we see the Lord's power. As you look in some of these next few verses, verses 4 through 9, you see the mention of the Word of the Lord. We're reminded of the power of the voice of the Lord as He spoke this world into existence. John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh. That Word was the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the power of God is seen through His Word. And we see in the psalmist writings the power of God's Word to correct us. Look in verse 4 and 5. It says, for the Word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You see what the psalmist says? The Word of God is right. It's true. There's no lie in it. There's no falsehood in it. The works of God are true. They're right. They're good. And when we abide by the Word of God and follow after the works of God, our ways will be right as well. You see, the Word of God has been given to us to correct us, to lead us and guide us and direct us in our lives. In our nation today, as we looked at this morning, there's a rejection of the absolute standards of morals and principles revealed here in God's Word. But yet the Word of God is the righteous standard, and when we live according to God's Word, that's when we experience the blessings of God upon our life. You think about an airplane pilot today who's trying to fly a jet in the midst of fog, in the midst of a terrible storm. Think about the importance of the instruments. If his instruments are not functioning correctly, or if he doesn't have those instruments available to him, in the midst of the fog, in the midst of the storm, he's just simply flying that plane by his feelings. He doesn't know if he's climbing. He doesn't know if he's descending. He doesn't know if he's headed towards a mountain. He doesn't know if he's headed towards the ocean. He's just simply flying blindly by his feelings. And I want to share with you tonight that whenever we get the notion to think that we can live our lives by our feelings, we are flying blindly. Whenever we ignore the teachings and directions and principles of God's holy word, we are headed for a crash. That's the reason our nation's crumbling today. That's the reason our homes are falling apart today. We're flying blindly. But when we allow God's Word to lead and guide and direct us, that's when we have fulfillment. That's when we have blessing. That's when we have the hand of God and His power in our lives to bless our homes, to bless our families, to bless our relationships, to bless our nation. Oh, He has the power to correct us. His is the power to create us. Look on down in verse 6 through 9. It says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Do you see the Trinity there? Do you see the revealed truth of the triune God in which we serve? The word of the Lord. There's God the Father. He spoke. The word of the Lord. There's the Word. There's the Son. He spoke and the heavens were made and all the host of them were created by the breath of His mouth. There's the Holy Spirit of God. Our God literally spoke this world into existence. The Bible says in Colossians, by Jesus, all things were created that were created, and by Him all things exist. The Word of God says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters in the creation of this world. Look in verse 7 through 9. "He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Oh, there are many today who would like to say and to believe that science reveals the Bible is untrue. But those who truly are true scientists, who truly examine scientific evidence, those are those who are coming to the realization, and many today who are seeing the truth, that all of creation points to a Creator. That all that we see in our universe, the very immensity of our universe, the very location of our galaxies, the fact that our universe is expanding, all of these things point to a beginning. All of these things point to a Creator, one who has created everything with us in mind. All of the places of our planets and our stars and in the right orbits and in the right positions and all the production of the elements throughout space, all of those things have to occur there just so there can be the possibility of human life right here. Hear me this evening. We ought to praise our God. He's worthy. He's on the throne. We ought to lift our voices in praise to Him for His Word. He corrects us. We ought to praise Him for a God who's created everything that is out there just so you and I can live and breathe and have life right here on planet Earth. He's a God who has created all things. I want you to see something else. We see not only the Lord's praise, we see not only the Lord's power, oh, but the psalmist recognized the Lord's providence, His sovereignty, His control over all things. You realize in verses 10 through 19, man, you can't help but read that and get the impression and know that the nations of this world are in the hands of God. You remember that song we used to sing? I'm sure our children still sing it. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world. Well, you know, we can add a few verses to that. He's got North Korea in His hands. He's got Iran and Afghanistan in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands because He's sovereign. He's in control of all nations and all people. Our God is a God who in His providence controls the nations of people. Look there in verse 10 through verse 12. Verse 10 and 11, we see this truth. He overrules those who reject Him. He overrules those who reject Him and His Word and His will for their lives. Verse 10 says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His hearts, of His heart to all generations." God's sovereign. He's in control. He overrules those who reject Him. Do you know today the United Nations, above the doors of the United Nations, is this verse, Isaiah 2:4, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares." Well, I want to tell you something. There's another verse that needs to be put above the doors of the United Nations. It's this verse right here, verse 10. "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and He maketh the devices of the people of none effect." Hear me, what the League of Nations could never do, what the United Nations will never do, what our president and this administration will never do, what the Antichrist will never do, is what God, the Lord Jesus, and His Word will do, and that is bring peace to this planet when Christ comes again to rule and to reign. And it doesn't matter how our nations come together, what coalitions they form, what policies they promote, what plans they have, all of that will come to naught because God overrules the counsels of the heathen and the devices of the wicked will come to naught, to no effect. But look in verse 12, He overwhelms those who trust in the Lord. He blesses those who look to the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. That word blessed can mean happy. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. You look to the life of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was blessed and happy when they followed the Lord, but when they left the Lord, they lost their blessings. They lost their happiness. Look to the history of the world. Look to the great nation of Britain. Look to the people of Britain today. A nation that once was blessed and happy. A nation that once had preachers like Charles Haddon Spurgeon who preached the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they left the Lord, they left their happiness and their blessing as well. Look to our nation today, a nation that's been admired throughout the world, a nation that's been blessed of God, a nation that's been happy, that's enjoyed prosperity, that's had provision. But the sad truth is, our nation has left the Lord. And now we're looking to drugs, we're looking to alcohol, we're looking to pornography. We're looking to immorality. We're looking to all of these things to bring happiness in our life. Oh, but the Word of God simply tells us this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Oh, how we need to come back to the Lord as a nation, that we might come back to a place of blessing and happiness. Not only do we see His control over the nations, but we also see His concern, because what's in His hands is not just under His control, but it's under His care and His concern. Look in verse 13 through 19. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. God's not just looking out for a certain race or for certain people. He's looking upon this world and He sees every nation, He sees every people, He sees every group. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. Listen, God has created every person today. He has fashioned the heart of every person today. And He knows this. The only thing that will satisfy the hearts of any nation, of any people, of any person today is a personal relationship with Him. And as God looks down upon this world, His heart's desire, He sent His Son for the express purpose that all upon this world might know Him, have a relationship with Him, that they might have their hearts filled with Him and His Spirit and experience the joy and blessing of His salvation. He looks down upon the world of men to seek that He and His image would be fashioned in their hearts. Notice there, though, in verse 16, He says, there's no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man's not delivered by much strength. Napoleon said the man with the greatest armies and men has God on his side, and that worked out pretty good until Waterloo. He, verse 17, a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. Listen, God's looking down upon this world. He sees a world of men and women that are seeking happiness and seeking fulfillment in life, and He knows that they'll never find it in the power of this world. They'll never find it in trusting in kings. They'll never find it in trusting in their military might. They'll never find it in looking to their self and what they can do. He realizes that the only way they'll ever find it is when they come to put their trust in Him. Put their faith in Him. Put their trust in God. That's when their hearts will be saved. That's when their lives will be satisfied. That is when death will be conquered. People say, oh, well, saints die. Oh, yeah, we die physically, but God has killed our mortality. Death for us is just simply a passing through a door from this life into eternal life, to everlasting life in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I want you to see here in these final verses, what does all this mean to the Lord's people? His praise, His power, His providence, His control and sovereignty, and His love and grace and desire for men to know Him. What does it mean for us, the Lord's people? Three things and I'm done. First of all, it means we have help. Look in verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We have help today. In the midst of difficult days, in the midst of war, in the midst of violence, in the midst of immorality, in the midst of a godless society today, we have help today. We who wait upon the Lord know that just as Jesus came in the right time to redeem mankind, He's going to return again at the right time to rule and reign. And we have help today if we look to the Lord and wait upon Him and trust in Him. We also not only have help, but we have happiness. Look in verse 21. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we've trusted in His holy name. See, our happiness is not in the circumstances. Our happiness is not based upon what's going on in our life. Our happiness, our joy is God's people. It's in our relationship with God. It's in our faith, in our trust in Him. You see, this weekend, this wasn't a happy weekend. The circumstances were not very happy to me and my family. We're not very happy to the Ward family. But the joy of the Lord is their strength. And it's our relationship with the Lord that enables us to be happy and joyful when the rest of the world and our lives is falling apart. We have help. We have happiness. We have hope. Verse 21, "For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we've trusted in Him." Verse 22, "Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." Listen, our hope as Christians, it's not just pie in the sky by and by. It's not wishful thinking. Our hope today is anchored in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have His help today. We have His happiness today. We have the hope of knowing today that He's still on the throne and all things are working according to His will and for His glory. And we as His people have that hope today that He will bring us through and we will enjoy Him and worship Him for all eternity. He is still on the throne. And the only way we'll make it through this life is if our hope is anchored beyond the veil. As the author of Hebrews says, as our hope is anchored in heaven, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what will get us through the storms, the trials, the troubles of this life. I never forgot a story one time of a little boy who was flying a kite, and it was cloudy that day. An old man walked up and he saw the young man with the string there and he said, "Young man, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." And that old man looked at him and looked up and he said, I don't see a kite up there. How do you know you're flying a kite?" He said, "Oh yes, there's a kite up there. I know he's up there. Every now and again I feel the tug. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a God who's sovereign and on the throne and in control of all things, because in the midst of the storms and troubles of life, through faith in the Lord Jesus, my heart feels the tug of eternity, and the joy of knowing He's still on the throne." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, may our hearts find comfort in Your Word. Lord, may our lives be lived for Your glory. God, may we look to You in Your grace for hope, for help, for happiness. And Lord, not to ourselves, to the things of this world, but may we ever look to You and to Your throne. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We simply want to sing a hymn and open this altar and allow you to come and to pray, to respond in whatever way the Lord would have you to tonight.
Turn to hymn number 305.
your hands, Lord, and all we need to do is just put our dependence in you and leave it there, Lord, and not be out experimenting.